I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch conversation. That's the part of the program where we talk with those who have made a difference through their work. And if you are a theater buff, especially of classical theater, then you must know about Michael Kahn. He's the former head of the drama division at New York's famed Juilliard School. He's led theater companies in Connecticut and New Jersey. But he might be best known for his 25 years as the artistic director of the Shakespeare Theater Company here in Washington, D.C., which even the London-based Economist has called one of the world's great Shakespearean theaters. Here's a scene from Richard II, which Mr. Kahn directed.
Confess thy treasons, ere thou fly the realm. Since thou hast far to go, bear not along the clogging burden of a guilty soul.
No, Bolingbroke. If ever I were traitor, my name be blotted from the book of life, and I from heaven banished as from hence.
As we said, this is his 25th year as artistic director of the Shakespeare Theater Company. So what better time to check in on Michael Kahn and get some wisdom from him? Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be here, Michelle.
Now, I read, you know, always what we read is not true, but I read that your mother read Shakespeare to you as bedtime stories.
That's actually true. My mother read Shakespeare to me, all the plays. So by the time I was 9 or 10, I knew all those characters. She also read the Bible to me. She cut out all what she thought were the sexy parts of the Bible, like the begats and everything, because she thought it was inappropriate. But she was sure there was nothing like that in Shakespeare. Little did she know how racy Shakespeare was when you really get down to it.
Were you ever frightened by the stories? These stories can be quite... some of them can be very frightening.
Yeah, I mean there's
a picture of human behavior, which is not always pretty, obviously, which is why it resonates and why it's true.
No, I was never frightened. I think my imagination was captured, as so many young people who come to our theater are captured by these incredible stories. And even if there's violence, there is such a reason often behind it, or something about the character that makes you understand perhaps why someone is violent, and certainly why violence is not an appropriate response to problems.
I understand that you majored in English at Columbia University, but this is one of these other questions I've always been dying to ask you. Is it true that you were suspended after the first year for not taking any of your exams?
That's actually
and that
true.
You actually had to be exempted from completing PE because you refused to go.
Dear me. Well, I wasn't exempted from PE. Yes, I was thrown out of school because I didn't take any exams. And actually, most of my professors gave me A's, but the health ed teacher and the ROTC teacher failed me. So when they checked that, they said, oh, well, I hadn't taken any exams. So they suspended me for a year. But after 7 years of Columbia University, where I'd got the chance to do a lot of theater, as a matter of fact, I did my first Shakespeare, I did Pericles across the street at Barnard, I couldn't pass a science course. I was already running a theater in New York City with four other extraordinary people. So at the very end, I think they know at Columbia I cheated on my astrology. It wasn't astrology, botany exam, by how many pistils and stamens, and I wrote them on my palm. So when I finally got out, they called me up and said, oh, Mr. Kahn, you've passed science, but you have 6 months of gym left. And I said, I'll commit suicide, or you need to name the school after me. So they said, we'll just graduate you. We're very happy you did. It was a wonderful school, but I got involved in a lot of things, especially theater and New York, and just was kind of not a good boy about those exams that particular year. I don't recommend it to anybody else, but it was fine for me.
What does it take to be a director? I mean, how does one give oneself permission to say, I am going to direct, I'm going to be in charge, I'm going to lead you in this, and you're going to trust me to do so? What does it take to find that in oneself?
I have a feeling that you're a lot better if you do have a deep understanding of other people and a sense of psychology and probably wanting to be in charge. But it's a collaborative art. Everything you do is with a playwright who's actually the primary artist and then the actors who are the interpretive artists. And so it's my job in a way to bring my vision of the play along with what the playwright intends and what the actors really can bring to it and what their personalities and their imaginations contribute. I'll start out the rehearsal process knowing more about the play than they will, and at the end of it, they will know more about their characters than I ever would.
The Shakespeare Theater Company has grown so much since you arrived. Mm-hmm. I mean, it used to be housed at this tiny auditorium. For 200 seats. And now there's the $89 million City Harmon Hall, which offers 775 seats. There's also the other theater at the Landsberg. So it's kind of a campus. It's actually kind of a complex.
That's nice. Yes, it's a little complex.
Well, what's interesting, though, about that is that people think of Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, as being a conservative arts town. So not only have you sort of grown the institution as an institution, just as in terms of the physical manifestation of it, but also the artistic risks.
There's something to be said for the fact that there's not a lot of cutting-edge theater in Washington. There was none when I got here, and there's a lot more developmental theaters doing new work and different kind of work. But when I got here 25 years ago, there were three theaters, and now we have about 65 theaters, so that the entire city has sort of embraced theatrical art in a way that very few other cities have, and I think it's very nice when people think that we had something to do with that. When I came here, I came to take over the Folger Theater, which was about to close. And I thought I'd come here for a couple of years because I loved Shakespeare and I had done quite a bit of Shakespeare in my life. And then it stopped doing it because I thought I had nothing more to bring to it. But at a certain point in my life, I thought perhaps I did. And in a new theater, a small theater, and with some new ideas I'd had, much gotten from working with my students at Juilliard, that I thought I'd like to try working on Shakespeare again. And many things happened, and it actually outgrew the Folger Theater. But along the way, and before we moved to the Landsberg, or when we moved to the Landsberg and then built the Harmon, we're aware that it's part of the responsibility of a theater not just to do plays, but in a sense to bring the audience into those plays and to increase the audience's knowledge and experience and willingness to see different kinds of theater literature. And the audience has come along with us. So I don't feel our audience is conservative anymore. I feel they're actually willing and interested to see what else is available to them as an audience.
What about the Shakespeare Theater Company just finished its run of Fela.
Yes.
This is the musical about the late Nigerian music legend Fela Kuti, mm-hmm. who known for his Afrobeat music, but also kind of really putting himself on the line for his political...
A
great artist, and for his stance for kind of freedom and dignity. Let's play a short clip from Fela.
I am Fela, Anikulapo Kuti, he who carries death in his pouch, who no mortal can ever kill. So let us turn Nigeria upside down. The police will try and shut me down, but the government won't dare come near me. I am the law and will do what I please. So yeah, man, make me your next black president.
Well, how does that, putting on a play like that, fit into the vision of the Shakespeare Theater Company? I think I may have even heard you ask it. Some people might ask, what is Fela doing at the Shakespeare Theater Company?
Well, you know, Fela had played on Broadway, and there's nobody I admire more than Bill T. Jones, who directed and choreographed it. And there's no musician that I admire more than Fela. So when I knew that they were going to do a national tour, we thought it would be wonderful if we could present them first. In Washington on their way to going around the country. Part of the company had already been in the UK at the National Theatre. And, you know, Shakespeare's plays are also involved with great art, music or language, and extraordinary characters. So I thought it was very appropriate to be in Washington, just in the same way that we were very, very happy to bring the National Theatre of Scotland's Black Watch, which was really about an extraordinary group of soldiers who were in Iraq. So one of the perks for me of not only doing classical theatre, but doing theatre in Washington, is to be able to bring contemporary pieces that speak to the world, and especially in a city that has a great deal to do with how things are acted out in the world stage.
In another way in which things are acted out, or that one of the things that you've done at the Shakespeare Theatre Company is multicultural casting, and I think I'm on firm ground when I say that you were doing this at a time when it was considered controversial.
Yeah.
Some people, I remember seeing letters where people were, you know, offended by that. And I'd like
that's
to
talk. Strange to think that there was a time when that was true.
And you've also done some interesting things, like, for example, with Patrick Stewart, who is, of course,
white, Caucasian,
who's white,
right,
white
in an all-African American
in an all-African American production,
production
of Othello. Where he played Othello. And I don't remember people being offended, but I do remember that this is the kind of thing that people, there are those who will say, you know, you're being politically correct or blah, 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 blah. Well, so talk to you about that.
Well, let me
that.
Say that, yeah. that really without thinking it was, to be honest with you, anything particular, was just pleased to have the best actors I could have. And when I got to Washington, the first person I auditioned was an extraordinary African-American actress named Franchelle Stewart Dorn. It never occurred to me to do anything else but have her the leading lady of the theater. So at that time, that seemed odd to a lot of people. There'd been a move to integrate companies really in the 50s. And then during the 60s, I think African-American actors felt that they should not appear in plays in a desire to have more African-American writing. There was some question, even August Wilson, who I totally, totally respect, said he didn't think African-American actors should be in plays by whites. And I thought that was allowing a lot of people to miss some pretty extraordinary opportunities, but I understood why. But when I got here in the 80s, I just thought, the best actors for the best parts. And I've been very lucky because I've been able to have Andre Brower and I've been able to have Avery Brooks over and over again. And I had Franchelle and Wendell Pierce, just lots and lots of people doing all kinds of parts. You know, theater, the great thing about Shakespeare, for instance, is that Shakespeare wrote for everybody and he wrote about everybody in his own society. And I think the theater should reflect the society it lives in. And not only that, it should make some good suggestions to the society that it lives in about how it might be a better society.
How do you remain fresh and excited at this stage of your life, having done so many things?
By making things very hard for myself. You know, I think when I look back on the 25 years I've been here, it's been really about challenging myself in the theater and the community and, you know, how to make better plays, how to do plays that people don't think they know about and maybe not want to see, how to look at a play in a different way that might illuminate the play, according to the author, but in a way that's particularly special, particularly resonant with the community. How do you bring school children, not just in by buses to the school, but how do you go into the schools, replace the sort of dearth of arts education, and get young people interested in literature and politics through theater? And then how do you do plays that you don't think you can do? So I'm about to do Strange Interlude, a play I've thought about doing for 20 years by Eugene O'Neill. And I'm not sure I know how to do it, which is the one thing that keeps me fresh, because I can't go in there and go, okay, I'm going to pull out this little bag of tricks or this little thing I did in the last play. You just did, you know, a bit of Richard II there. And I did Richard II. That's the third Richard II I've done in my life. And what is interesting to me is that none of them were alike. I think the last one was the best because I actually began to understand the character. So I challenge myself. And when I don't challenge myself, I could get lazy or distracted and lose my energy. But theater is so difficult that it's really hard not to challenge yourself. But it's fun.
You know, we often ask women this, but I'm going to ask you this, is that many people are interested in how you can have a full professional life in the way that you've had and done so many things and touched so many people's lives, but having a life for yourself. And I know that you had, I hope you don't mind my mentioning, you were partnered for many years.
Not for 24 years.
For 24 years. And lost your partner after September 11th,
yeah,
who was working as a grief counselor.
Was working at the World Trade Center.
Right, at the World Trade Center. But I did, and I'm sorry for your loss, but I did want to ask, how do you have some advice for people who want to have some sort of a life?
Well, I think it would be fair to say that, you know, if Frank was still alive and he was here, you would say that the relationship suffered from the amount of work that I did. I don't know if you actually can have a complete professional life and a complete personal life. I don't know if you can. I would say that I didn't, although when the time was for my personal life, I had a very good time. But for many, 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 many years of my life, my work and the kind of work I did and where I did it. So often was not in the city in which my partner was living or I was originally living, took me away a lot. And I think then you have to make more room out of your professional life for your personal life. I'd have to say that if I had children, I would have had to make other decisions because I certainly wouldn't have gone out of town so much. I might not have taken this job in Washington.
You don't have children, but you have many, many students. And I'm thinking that there might be somebody listening to our conversation who would love to learn from you. So I'm going to finish by asking, do you have some wisdom to share?
A life in the arts is actually one of the most satisfying lives you can have. You use all of your muscles, your intelligence, your physicality, your spirituality, your understanding, your, you know, and if you want to be an artist, be one. But if you want to do anything else, please do it. Because in addition to all the wonderfulness about being art, it's a very difficult profession where you have to develop a lot of strength to take criticism and failure. But if it's what you want and there's nothing else but this that you want to do, go ahead and do it. And you'll be terrific at it, and maybe you'll make a real contribution to the world you live in.
Michael Kahn is celebrating his 25th year. Perhaps it's we who are celebrating his 25th year as artistic director of the Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington, D.C. He was kind enough to stop by our studios in Washington, D.C. Michael Kahn, thank you so much for speaking
with us. Well, thank you. I had a great time, Michelle.
And remember, with Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. And in the coming weeks, we are looking to speak with leaders of the arts around the country. If there are arts leaders or institutions in your community who you'd like us to meet, please tell us more about them. You can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that number is 202-842-3522. Please remember to leave us your name. You can also follow us on Facebook and find us on Twitter. Just look for Tell Me More NPR. And that's our program for today. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Let's talk more tomorrow.